Welcome to Romecast number 2. I'm here with my good friend Oz. Oz, welcome to Romecast.
I'm thankful for the invitation to join you on the Romecast.
It's great to have you.
Thank you. Well, just a little bit about myself. I'm an islander, basically from the Caribbean. I'll tell you a little bit about my personal family and professional life. My parents were basically converts. My father was never in the church, basically. He was involved in seances, etc. And my mother was a Presbyterian. And through people testifying and evangelizing them, basically, they got converted. So it was a very, very big conversion in their life, you know, joining the Catholic Church. In my case, I've been married for over 40 years. We have children, grandchildren. We love them all. I always tell each one of them, you know, they're, for example, if it's the oldest one, I tell her, you're my favorite oldest granddaughter, and to teach it off to the other one. Whoever the second one is, I tell him, you're my favorite second grandchild, you know. So everybody's my favorite.
As long as you modify it, you're not lying.
Yeah, exactly. professionally, I was a law enforcement officer with over 29 years of service. I retired honorably. I served with one of the biggest law enforcement agencies in the nation. And there I served in uniform capacity. I was a detective. I investigated burglaries all the way to homicides. I was in another unit, looking for felons, escapees. Being that I was I'm a martial artist for so many years, you know, maybe over 50 years now, somebody saw me on TV doing a demonstration, and they pulled me out of the uniform capacity, and they told me we would like to come and go to the police academy. Throughout my career, I trained maybe, I think I stopped counting, about 65,000 law enforcement officers.
Awesome.
And this is even three-letter agencies, to military, to people from, I mean, the Caribbean, the all over the U.S., South America, et cetera. So Russia, Japan, I mean, from all over. And I trained them in defensive tactics. That's what we call empty hand control, self-defense. Firearms, driving, first aid. I'm also a medical assistant. I'm not like without all the experience that you have. You know, I did receive an award for saving a life.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So.
And you know, one thing for our audience there, Andromeda and Oz both go to the Latin Mass, and we kind of decided on Romecast we're not going to make this be some just promotion of the Latin Mass. In full transparency, that is the Mass Andromeda and Oz go to. So maybe, even though we're not going to, this isn't a liturgical podcast on Novus Ordo versus traditional Latin Mass, maybe you could just give us a couple minutes what brought you into tradition and started to love the Latin Mass, if you got a minute for that, Oz.
Yeah, of course. The parish I was going to, you know, one day when they started whistling in the Mass, I don't know why, I said, man, that day, I said, I don't know what's going on. What, this is out of place. I mean, it was out of the blue. I mean, I was happy with the women dancing around the altar, holding hands, clapping, cheering for our football teams, basketball teams, etc. during Mass. I mean, I thought that was the norm. Mm-hmm. You know, so but one day, that day, I don't know why, when they started whistling during Mass, that day I look around, I said, wait, wait a minute, there's something out of place in here. Mm-hmm. And that led me to start, reading, looking at information that was out there. You know, during that period, I started and this has been for 15 years, even though I'm not active anymore, I delegated this to the rest of the guys. I started a men's first responder weekend retreat, and I think we have put there in the past 15 years, maybe 300 guys have gone through their retreats, you know, in an attempt to bring them closer to Christ. Then that was in 2004. And then in 2007, the other thing that motivated me was, I think, was Pope Benedict XVI that asked the laity to start learning the faith. So at that time, me and two more guys, we started these classes with a little bit that we knew of teaching men of the Catholic faith. You know, we start at 7 in the morning. We'll end up at 9 o'clock at night. It was a one-day thing, breakfast, lunch, dinner, the prayers, the rosary, whatever. So that, again, was part of our growth experience. And then we started talking to each other. Because it's like the you were discussing with Dr. Taylor Marshall, how we've been fatherless, spiritually fatherless for so many years.
Yeah.
That, you know, it was kind of like hard. Start learning the faith by yourself, you know, because that the fact that we were fatherless didn't help, you know. And then one day I was in 2013.
Yeah, this was in the hospital.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And then I was there for 16 days. There were some complications. I was supposed to be going home by 2 days or something like that, and 2 or 3 days. And there were some complications. I got so bored that I said, let me look at the phone. And I laid back in my bed there, and then as I'm looking, I came across a bunch of homilies from, I think it was Audio Santo, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are they actually teaching during the Mass? What is that? Wait a minute. Like, rewinded. I will go back. And I went back from 2013, because I imagine 16 days in the hospital, I went back to, whatever, 2003, listening every day as many sermons as I could. And I go, oh, my goodness sake, this is incredible. Wow, this is about the Catholic Church, miracles, there's a history of saints. And I was like, whoa, it blew me away. So, I started telling the other two guys that I will actually discuss these things. I said, look, guys, got to hear this. This is incredible. Look at this. And, you know, that led me to a bunch of other websites where I could hear the priest teaching during Mass. It was not a happy clappy, you're good, you're going, you know, this is great. And then that led me to, I don't know, actually to you. And I don't know why, one of my friends, remember, I have to drive, I don't know for how many hours and hours just to get to see you. But I said, I have to talk to you. I don't know why, I have to talk to you. I have to message, and I gave you that message from my friend. And when I gave you the message, I remember you telling me the first thing you told me, which was like, it was amazing, was like, I said, wait a minute, you're a traditional guy and you're a happy guy? that was so funny. You know, we spoke for what, maybe less than an hour, and that's when and you said, oh my goodness sake, I only wanted to see you for an hour because I thought it was going to be boring. And you said, man, I wish I had 3 more hours so we could keep talking.
Yeah, we had a good talk. That's right.
Yeah. So
I'm glad you came and found me.
Yes, no, it was. It's been my pleasure.
Now we talk like every week on the phone, so that's why I decided to turn this into a podcast. I thought, well, we're always talking about news and dogma and liturgy with such passion every week. I should probably just turn this into a podcast.
Yeah.
Well, that's a great intro. I think we'll have a lot of time to get to know Oz as we go. Is it okay if I just jump into my story and we'll wrap it up since we're getting kind of long today? We have to keep it shorter. Our audience have a lot of time to get to know you, Oz. But my story today is my friend Mike gave me a book called Parish Ritual, and Benzinger Brothers has a new text of all the old rite sacraments to just bring on the go. So any of the listeners out there, if you have any priests that you know who are either traditional priests or even if they're just doing both masses, the new and the old, and they're dabbling in tradition, and you're looking to get them a gift, this is a great gift to give them. It's called Parish Ritual. It's the text from all the 1961 sacraments, and it's a new production by Benzinger Brothers. And I think that's out of New York. So my friend Mike just gave it to me, and I actually had a very small one from about 100 years ago. it was given in heavy approbation for all the United States ones in both English and Latin, but it's great to put in my pocket when I run into the hospital for an emergency. But this is a bigger one that's going to be able to be open in my hand, like my left hand, while I, say, do a baptism with my right hand in a church or something like that, and the few sacraments a hermit does when he comes down off of his mountain. And this book has all seven sacraments in both English and Latin in the pre-Vatican II form. And as you mentioned, Oz, Summorum Pontificum gave the green light not only for the traditional Latin Mass, but every priest, every normal diocesan priest in the world has the right to choose all the old rites of the sacraments or the new rites of the sacraments. He can choose the old divine office or the new liturgy of the hours. And as I said on a previous podcast, I think this is why Satan attacked Pope Benedict so hard, is because this was a crack in the dike that just returned us to traditional dogma and liturgy. So there's a thousand things I could choose in here, from baptism to extreme unction to all these things, especially since I could read the audience all of this in either English or Latin. And I don't want to turn this into a book report podcast, because it's not going to be that. But since my buddy just gave me this book, and it's really powerful and really beautiful, I'm going to encourage anyone to get any priest they know this book. I think I'm just going to pick one random prayer and read it to you. This is the prayer the priest prays at the very moment of death. This is after extreme unction. This is actually after numerous litanies of the saints. If you look in the old rite, it's very, very long, because it was expected the priest actually stay there for quite a while. So if you get this for a priest, maybe he'll pray this over you one day. This is the prayer of the commendation of the soul at the very moment of death. Just listen how powerful this is. And imagine at the moment of death, as your soul leaves the body, looking down upon a priest praying this. So maybe this will take about 60 seconds. Very powerful words in the parish ritual. Go forth, Christian soul, out of this world, in the name of God the Father Almighty, who created you, in the name of Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, who suffered for you, in the name of the Holy Spirit, who is poured out upon you, in the name of the glorious and holy Virgin Mary, Mother of God, in the name of Blessed Joseph, the renowned spouse of the Virgin, in the name of the angels and archangels, in the name of the thrones and dominations, in the name of the principalities and powers, in the name of the cherubim and seraphim, in the names of patriarchs and prophets, in the name of the holy apostles and evangelists, in the name of the holy martyrs and confessors, in the name of the holy monks and hermits, in the name of the holy virgins, and of all the saints of God, this day may your rest be in peace, and may your dwelling be in holy Sion. Through the same Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful God, God of kindness, you wipe out the sins of penitence and the greatness of your mercies, and do away with the guilt of past crimes with the grace of forgiveness. Look with kindness upon this, your servant name, and be moved to hear her as she begs the remission of all of her sins from a penitent heart. Renew in her, most gracious Father, whatever has been corrupted by the weakness of this earth, or whatever has been profaned by the devil's wickedness. Bind her to the unity of the body of the church as a member of redemption. Have mercy, O Lord, upon her. Have mercy, O Lord, upon her sorrows. Have mercy upon her tears, and admit her to the sacrament of your reconciliation, which has no trust except in your mercy. I commend you, dear sister, to Almighty God, and entrust you to him who created you. When by dying you have paid the debt of humankind, may you return to your Maker who formed you from the earth. When your soul goes forth from your body, may the bright company of the angels come to meet you. May the court of apostles welcome you. May the triumphant army of white-clad martyrs stand in your path. May the shining host of confessors surround you. May the joyous chorus of virgins receive you. May the arms of the patriarchs embrace you, and in blessed peace, may Saint Joseph, beloved patron of the dying, stir up your high hope. May the Holy Mother of God, the Virgin Mary, turn her eyes to you in kindness. May the face of Christ Jesus appear to you, kind and joyful, and may he count you among those who forever stand at his side. May you never know the fear of darkness, the hissing of flames, the torment of hell. May foul Satan and his followers give way to you. May he tremble at your coming in the company of angels and flee to the frightful chaos of everlasting night. May God rise up and scatter his enemies. May they who hate him flee from his sight. May they vanish like smoke or like wax in the fire. So may sinners perish at the sight of God. May the just be glad and rejoice before God's face. May all the armies of hell be confounded and confused, and may no minister of Satan dare to stand in your path. May Christ, who was crucified for you, deliver you from torments. May Christ, who was willing to die for you, deliver you from eternal death. May Christ, the Son of the living God, set you down in the pleasant green gardens of his paradise, and may he, the true shepherd, count you among his flock. May he forgive you all your sins and give you a place at his right hand among his chosen ones. May you see your Redeemer face to face, and may you always stand before him, looking with blessed eyes upon truth itself. Thus placed among the ranks of the blessed, may you rejoice in the beauty of the divine vision forever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Pretty powerful, isn't it, Oz?
Oh, my goodness. Yes, 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 yes. I wish at the moment of my death I will be able to have a priest side by side with me, you know.
Praying that.
You know, yeah.
Yeah, I was choking back tears just trying to squeeze that out because it's just so powerful.
Yeah. There were a couple of times there I felt the same.
Yeah. Well, praise God. So we're just going to close then with this quote from St. Maximus the Confessor on the life of Our Lady. And just a couple paragraphs. Again, we won't turn this podcast into a lot of book reports and reading, but we'll always close with this quote from St. Maximus the Confessor. He starts by quoting St. Gregory of Nyssa saying, quote, I have read in an apocryphal book that the father of the all-holy Virgin Mary was renowned for his observation of the law and was famous for his charity, close quote. This continues now St. Maximus the Confessor. He was named Joachim from the tribe of David, the king and prophet, and his spouse was Anna, and he was childless until old age because his wife was barren. Now then, Joachim and Anna were esteemed and honored in deed and word because they were known to be from the lineage of Judah and David and the succession of kings. And ultimately, the tribes of Judah and Levi were united. That is to say, the royal and the priestly tribes were mixed. For so it is written concerning Joachim and Joseph, to whom the Holy Virgin was betrothed. Although he was called from the house and the tribe of David according to the near side, that is from Luke 1:25, both sides nevertheless became one. One by nature, which was from David, and the other through the law, which were the Levites. So the blessed Anna was also an obedient branch from this tribe, and she foretold that the king born from their child would be a high priest as God and human being. They were wanting a child to be born from them to eliminate not only their own reproach, but that of the whole world, and to lead it up to a higher glory. Then the blessed Anna, like the first Anna, the mother of Samuel, went to the temple, and she prayed to the Creator of all things to give her the fruit of childbirth so that she would dedicate to him as a gift what they had been given by him. The gracious and abundantly generous king looked upon the prayer of the righteous, and he sent forth the good news to both of them. First, he informed Joachim while he was standing in prayer in the temple. He heard a voice from on high that said, "You will receive a child who will be a glory not only for you but for the whole world." He made Joachim's good news known to the blessed Anna, but she did not cease from her prayers to God with ardent tears. The news came to her from God in the garden, where she was offering prayers and supplications to God. The angel of God came to her and said, "God has heard your prayer, and you will give birth to the cause of joy, and you will name her Mary, through whom the salvation of the entire world will come into being." And with the Annunciation, the conception began, and from the barren Anna was born Mary, the illuminator of all, for so her name, Mary, is translated as illuminator. And then the translator Shoemaker, as well as St. Maximus the Confessor, actually get into the Hebrew to prove that Mary's root is illuminator. That's what the name Mary means. Thanks for joining us on Romecast number 2. We will catch you next week. Romecast number 3 on Tuesday with Andromeda. God bless you.